We'll call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Pleasant good morning to you. It's Saturday morning at 9:05, 9:08. Saturday morning, this is the 14th of April. We're getting close to the end. We have Senator Wilkowski, who is not here yet, but is supposed to be on his way, Senator Costello, Senator Schauer, myself, Senator Coghill. Today, the plan is to bring up House Bill 20, which deals with marriage solemnization, and then Senate Bill 2076, which is the Title IV rewrite. We'll put a CS before us. We have Representative Clayman here for us and his staff, Sarah. Why don't you come on forward for a second? We've heard the marriage solemnization bill the other day. We got it laid out, and I think fairly clearly. But I think, Representative Clayman, you weren't able to be here, I think, for the whole deal. So any comments you wanted to make before we got started, and then I'll open it up for questions, and we'll see where we want to go with it.
Just briefly, this is for the record, Matt Clayman, State Representative from House District 21 in West Anchorage. This is a bill that I really look at as a kind of a bill that will make us, in the world in which sometimes people get unhappy with what people in public office do, it might be something that occasionally people will ask us to do something and they'll be uniformly happy with the work we're doing. And I think it clarifies certain constitutional protections that I think are very important to members of this of the legislature, but I think would be important to any elected official, and clarifies the already existing constitutional protections for clergy and other individuals.
Any questions for the representative at this point? Is there any amendments? We didn't have anybody available. I mean, anybody call in for public testimony. Has there been any pushback on this, Representative Clayman, that you have heard of?
Not since it passed the House. There were some concerns that were addressed with amendments in the House that clarified the constitutional protections and that basically the right to decline to perform a marriage for any reason, and that resolved the concerns that we heard about.
Okay. Seeing that there's no public testimony, I'll close public testimony, but Senator Costello, is there any question? Well, with that, my expectation is that we will bring it up for a vote. So, Senator Costello?
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Bill number 20, Judiciary Version Oscar from Committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there any objection to moving the bill from committee? This is the last committee referral. It goes to the rules. All right. With that, we're going to move House Bill 20 along. Thank you, Representative Clayman and Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Take a brief at ease while we sign this paper. All right, we'll call the Senate Judiciary Committee back to order. The next bill that we're going to take up is Senate Bill 76. There is a CS that is a Y version. And this is the Title IV rewrite. We're going to have quite a bit of testimony on it today, but I think it would be only wise if we brought the CS before and an explanation of those changes and the sponsor's agreement or disagreement with those changes. Senator Costello, would you make a motion to bring the Y version before us?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 76 version Y before the committee as the working document.
And I'll object so we can hear the changes. My office staff, the staff to the Judiciary Committee, Senator Ms. Schilling will bring it to the senators and go through the changes. Jordan Schilling, put yourself on the record and walk through the changes in this YCS.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill, and if I could I get sponsor staff, Rachel Hanke, up at the table, too, just to assist.
Sure, may. Ms. Hanke, why don't you come on up, and we can go through it, because you might have to help us answer some questions.
And then, Mr. Chair, also, we do have Anna Brawley on the phone, able to answer questions as well.
Thank you very much.
So the first change in the bill, Mr. Chairman, is on page 13, line 14. What this does is this lowers the biennial club license fee to...
Okay, please go ahead.
It lowers a fee for what's called a club license from $2,500, which is currently in the bill, down to $1,500.
Before you go any further, we'll just notice that Senator Wilkowski is with us. Welcome. Good morning, Senator Wilkowski. Senator Wilkowski, we have just put version Y before us, and we just began the explanation of changes. So both Mr. Schilling will go through the changes, and we started on line page 14. And we have both the sponsor here, and we have Anna Brawley, who is on the line available for questions, Senator. So please continue, Mr. Schilling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The next changes can be found on pages 18, line 24. And what this does is it amends the sporting event license to allow for multiple non-contiguous locations. And then the exact same change is made on page 20, line 22, to another type of license. This is the destination resort license, and that, too, would allow for multiple non-contiguous locations.
Can you explain that, or do we have Sarah to explain that?
Mr. Chair, I can take a stab at it. My understanding would be, for example, in Fairbanks we have the Chena Hot Springs Resort.
Is there copies? I don't have a copy of mine.
Yes, let's take a brief of these. I need to get a copy for the senator. Hang tight. Yes, Senate Judiciary, back to order. The copy has been given to Senator Wilkowski. My apologies. We should have that on the table for you. Also is the kind of the narrative that Jordan Schilling put together for me with his own editorial. So we'll kind of skip over his editorials and we'll go to the meat of the question. Mr. Schilling, last we started, you were on page 20, line 22, I think, the multiple non-contiguous locations for beverage dispensary.
Through the chair, and for the record again, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill, and just in fairness to me, this is not my editorializing here. This is the sponsor's.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice to know. Well, then we can have fun with that.
Where we were, though, was describing an example of what multiple non-contiguous locations would mean for example, a destination resort license. One example would be the Chena Hot Springs Resort in Fairbanks. They have multiple serving locations within an individual site, and it's my understanding that that would be an example of a non-contiguous serving location.
So we do have Anna Brawley on. Anna, was there any comments you wanted to bring up on this particular issue?
Yes, Senator.
Yes, put yourself on the record. And we're talking about the multiple non-contiguous locations between the wine and other beverages.
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Anna Brawley, Project Coordinator for the Title IV Review Project and Senior Associate at Agnubat Consulting. And the proposal to change this language is related to so different license types. Some allow one specific room to be the licensed premises. Others may allow, you know, all or part of a golf course, for example, to be a licensed premises. And so this allows these two license types, the destination resort and the sporting event license, to designate multiple areas on their property that don't connect with each other. For example, two different beer gardens.
Any further questions at this point? Let's move on to the other changes then, Mr. Schilling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Next changes can be found on page 27, line 27, just simply inserting language with a zip code. And then similar changes on page 28, lines 21 through 22 that also insert zip code language. And what this really does is this allows wine shippers from out of state to be able to better understand where they can and can't ship to. If they have zip codes available to them, that can help them understand perhaps maybe a local option area where they shouldn't be shipping to.
Any further comment from the sponsor on that? Any questions on that? I think that was just clarifying because it still has to be signed by people, but the zip codes help them figure out what's the dry areas. Okay. All right. Please continue then.
Mr. Chair, this next one, I could use some help from Anna Brawley. This one relates to common carrier approval. And this makes this can be found on page 48, lines 26 through 31. And this makes a distinction between administrative violation against a common carrier and the crime of unauthorized transportation of alcoholic beverages by a common carrier into a local option area.
So why don't we just have Anna Brawley go ahead and give us the context of this and why this is needed. Anna?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Should I put my name back on the record?
No, please continue.
Okay, thank you. So the purpose of this change in the CS, there's an existing law, as Jordan said, that restricts shipment of alcohol into local, or I'm sorry, transport by common carrier of alcohol into a local option area. So, and then there's a new concept proposed in this bill where shipping alcohol, for example, from a winery to a customer in Alaska has to be done by an approved common carrier. And originally those two things were put into the same section, but they really deal with completely separate issues. So this just splits out the language that was in the original section.
Questions on that? Senator Wilkowski.
So are we on page 48 right now?
It's page 48, line 26 through 31.
And maybe this is a question for law, but just looking at line 27 through 29, it says a common carrier may not transport or deliver alcoholic beverages to a person in the state unless the board has approved the common carrier. And then I remember seeing a definition. Okay. On page 50, there's a definition of common carrier means a motor vehicle, watercraft, aircraft, or railroad car available for public hire to transport freight or passengers. So if someone's driving an Uber car or Lyft or taxi, for example, and somebody hops in the car with a six-pack of beer, are we creating a legal liability for them under this?
So Anna Brawley, if you could answer that, and then if we need to, we can see if law has any. We do have Gustav Olson, who's with the Department of Law, but Anna, we'll let you take the first shot at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe for the sections in, and I'm getting to the page number, the sections having to do with approved common carriers, that's really contemplating shippers like FedEx and UPS and potentially other types of shippers that are sending alcohol from a business to a customer. And then the statute relating to local option in 416.125, that is current law, and that really is the liability, my understanding, is not necessarily on the carrier. But I would defer that question to Department of Law.
So why don't we have Gustav Olson put himself on the record and see if he understood the question. If not, I'll have you restate it, Senator.
Thank you to the chair. This is Gustav Olson from Kodiak. I'm the district attorney in Kodiak. And between 2011 and 2013, I was the statewide special prosecutor for Title IV violations. I did prosecute common carrier. My understanding of the modification to Title IV with regard to common carrier is just clarification regarding the liability and the expectations of the common carrier, which is providing the service as opposed to the individual who is utilizing that service to transport alcohol. I can tell you that in my experience in the 2+ years that I prosecuted Title IV, never did I actually charge the common carrier itself with a common carrier violation. Every time that I actually brought a charge under this title, it was against the individual who was trying to subvert the will of the people with regard to these local option communities by not appropriately affixing the labeling and the receipt on the package containing the alcohol to the village that was damp.
Further questions, Senator Wilkowski?
Well, and I just want to clarify the record because that was what I thought you were trying to do, but this language seems fairly broad to me. But I just want to give you a hypothetical. Someone calls for Uber or Lyft. They're at a liquor store. The Uber or Lyft comes to the liquor store, picks them up. They have a six-pack of beer. They say, I want to go to a friend's house. The driver drops them off at the friend's house. Have they violated this section, Uber and Lyft, or a taxi?
The issue, and this is through the chair to Senator Wilkowski, the issue that I see here is that you're premising this question that there is a liquor store in the community that allows the sale and purchase of alcohol. Generally, when we are seeing these type of crimes being charged with regard to common carrier, the transportation of the alcohol is to areas that do not actually have liquor stores in them that allow the sale and purchase of alcohol. People are allowed to bring alcohol in as long as it is properly marked. And sometimes they're allowed through a packing store license to have alcohol delivered, which is why we have the common carrier provisions in Title IV. But what you're laying out here is not a scenario that I have ever seen in rural Alaska.
Well, so maybe for me that can clarify. If you're within Anchorage or Fairbanks, which you have liquor stores, and somebody calls up a taxi and wants to have a delivered of a bottle of wine or of spirits, and there was no passenger, or if it was an Uber or Lyft, would they be violating any law, and would it be under common carrier or some other section of law?
Through the chair to Senator Wilkowski, I do not believe so, based on my reading and my enforcement of Title IV.
Okay. Senator Wilkowski, did that help?
Okay, just maybe one brief more question. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the page 48 doesn't seem to limit this to local option communities. It says a common carrier may not transport or deliver alcoholic beverages to a person in the state unless the board has approved the common carrier. So, but if you're saying that you're not going to prosecute people for that scenario, then I just wanted to have a record of that.
And I'm looking at AS 11, and this is through the chair.
Yes, Mr. Gustav.
I'm looking at Section 0416.125. When we are, and when I say we, I'm referring to the individual responsible for enforcement of Title IV provisions, enforcing the common carrier provisions. I saw it under Subsection A to enforce a person who is using the common carrier to transport alcoholic beverages into an area that has restricted the sale of alcoholic beverages. And that restriction is per Alaska Statute 0411-491. And those are those communities that have the local option election.
So what I'll do is I'll go back to Anna Brawley, because, Anna, you were instrumental in bringing this, which is Article 7, which is a new section in this title. The common carrier as is compared to how you see this brought out in this new Article 7, because it seemed to me like this is a new article. Was it your contemplation that this was going to be common carrier with regard to areas that would have a prohibition or have a community option?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The new section would cover non-local option areas and local option, and it really addresses a business such as a winery or a package store shipping an order of alcohol to an individual. So that could be for the winery direct shipment license, they would not be allowed to ship to a local option area because they wouldn't have access to the written order database that the ABC board uses to track whether someone's met their monthly order limit. But an Alaska package store does have access, so they would be shipping to a local option area. But this is really just to ensure that that the people that are transporting and delivering alcohol to customers are checking ID. They're not just leaving it on the doorstep, and just making sure that they're following safe alcohol handling policies.
Thank you. Further questions, Senator Wilkowski? All right, let's move on then.
Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. The next change is on page 70, line 1. This lowers the waiting period between board petitions from 10 years to 5 years.
Give me a moment to get to page 70. All right. Please continue.
And again, it lowers the waiting period between board petitions from 10 years, which is in the current bill, and now in the CS, down to 5 years.
And this deals with municipalities having some question. Maybe, Anna Brawley, you can tell us the history of this particular issue and why going from 10 to 5 years gives some comfort to communities.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is relating to the proposal for a city to petition the board to issue additional restaurant licenses to that city outside of the population limits that exist for that city. So the proposal right now is that if the board denies that petition to the city can come back and revise their petition and make it again, you know, the next day, essentially. But if they are approved for licenses, let's say a city is given 5 more licenses, then the original language in the bill would have required them to wait 10 years before they petition the board again for more licenses. This would lower that to 5 years, so they would after you know, year 5, day 1, they would be able to submit a new petition.
So my expectation is this came up because of communities that feel like they could grow faster than that 10-year limit would allow them flexibility with?
Yes, that's correct.
Senator Schauer, any comment on this? Because I know this is one of the questions you had earlier.
So one of the questions, and you may answer this at a later time, but just I'll ask it now. Because I've got 4 cities in my district that are concerned about this. They actually want it to go to 3 as opposed to 5. And we'll ask them to make sure that that's okay if it ends up at 5. But I understand there was another part of this that they asked as well that was to change to have the appeal process, that there was an appeal to the board. And then there also was the ability to appeal to the commissioner. So if it's going to be covered later, that's fine. If not, but those are the 2 things I understand that were worked out with the bill sponsor to help assuage the concerns that the cities had.
So why don't we have Sarah?
Through the chair, Senator Schauer. We did look at the appeal process of the commissioner, and it's my understanding that that is not allowed for this board. And Erica McConnell might be able to speak to that a little more. But it is also my understanding that there is an appeal process in place already, and that is to the Supreme Court.
So Erica McConnell is director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Board in Anchorage. Erica, did you have any comment on that particular question?
For the record, this is Erica McConnell, director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. The ABC board is an independent quasi-judicial and regulatory board. Decisions of the board can be appealed to the Office of Administrative Hearings, where an administrative law judge holds a hearing, offers a recommended decision that goes back to the board for a final decision, and if the appellant is not satisfied with the final decision, they can appeal to Superior Court.
Senator Schauer, does that satisfy you?
I'll run down later.
All right. Thank you very much, Erica, and thank you, by the way, all of you, thank you for taking your Saturday morning to be with us. This is that time of year where bills bleed into the weekend and take up our time. Thank you for your time and effort, all of you. And for those who are testifying, my expectation as soon as we get through this and answer questions from the committee to the sponsor, we will go to public testimony. My expectation is that will be just before 10 o'clock, and then we will take public testimony. So, Mr. Schilling, continue.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The next 2 changes relate to criminal penalties. The first one is on page 86, and you'll no longer see sections in this bill that reduced furnishing alcohol to a minor down to a violation. Those sections have been removed from the bill, and that statute will go unamended by the CS and would retain that conduct as being either a Class A misdemeanor or a Class C felony, depending on the conduct.
So that was at my request, and that I haven't had any comment back from the sponsor. Does the sponsor understand the request, and is there any issue with it?
No, Mr. Chair.
I probably pronounced your name wrong, Gustav, but is can you explain to us how it arrives to a felony at this point?
Gustav Olson, to the chair, Senator Coghill. I would like to say that I appreciate the work that the sponsor has done with the department and the enforcement of the criminal penalties for furnishing alcohol to a minor are appropriate. I can tell the court that in my history as a prosecutor, and I am a career prosecutor, this has been enforced, and I have been either directly involved or in a supervisory role involved in the enforcement of these crimes by which individuals, especially underage individuals, are furnished alcohol, and significant harm is caused by that furnishing of death and serious physical injury. And I think it's appropriate, and I really appreciate the work that was done by the sponsor and by the chair to keep these crimes at the level of crimes that they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Gustav. Any other questions on this particular point? Okay, let's move on then, Mr. Schilling.
The next change, Mr. Chair, page 87. This is very similar to the last change we discussed. There's also a similar crime called renting a room for the purposes of furnishing alcohol to a minor. That was reduced to a violation in the bill as it entered the Judiciary Committee. The CS before you leaves it at an A misdemeanor.
Questions on that? All right, let's move on.
Next change, Mr. Chair, is page 88, lines 19 and 22. And all this does is specify that the violation of consuming alcohol at a school event is for those 21 and older. The bill previously was silent on the age, and the reason that was problematic is it conflicted with an existing penalty. It is already a crime to furnish or to consume alcohol as a minor, and so it was important to create a dividing line for the purposes of this fine to say this fine only applied to those over 21.
So I do have a question, and maybe Anna can help me with this question, and maybe Gustav can help with this question. In Fairbanks, we have a fundraiser for Catholic Church School, and they take their auditorium and do a fundraiser. They serve alcohol in it. You have to be 21 years or older to do it. But would that be considered a school event? It's a fundraiser for the Catholic diocese at that point for their private school. Help me understand how this would work in that circumstance. So, Anna, maybe you first, and then, Gustav, maybe you can help us with it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would actually recommend that Erica McConnell answer this question only because this event has been happening for several years, and so my understanding is it would have already been getting a permit, or she might be able to speak to how it happens now.
Erica, did you hear the question, and do you have any comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Erica McConnell, Director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. Certainly, we issue permits for events that happen at schools, but I have to say that I am unsure whether the definition of school event would be an event that just happens at a school or an event that is related to a school, such as a fundraiser put on by the school. So I'll have to look into that a little bit more, and I can provide an answer to you.
All right. Thank you. That's going to be a lingering question. This bill does have another committee referral. And so before it gets through this body, I think we need to get that answered. It does. I talked to the presiding officer, and they said it was a mistake that it didn't go to finance. So my expectation it will go to finance. But that is going to be a lingering question before we get to the floor. And I think this is a new section in this law, if I understand correctly.
Through the chair, or Mr. Chairman, it's actually my understanding that this is existing law, And this is establishing a fine, whereas previously it was considered a Class A misdemeanor.
Okay. Mr. Olson with the Department of Law, is there any comment that you have on that, or is that something we should look further into?
Gustav Olson, to the chair, Senator Coghill, I would defer at this time. I think this is a unique scenario that probably needs a little more looking into.
All right. Then I would ask the sponsor to follow this, as I will as well, but mainly because it's kind of one of their fundamental sources of income on an annual event. And if they're forced to go off their campus, it may have to. But even at that, it might be considered a school event, and I think we need to clarify that. All right, Mr. Schilling, continue.
The final change, Mr. Chairman, is page 89, lines 26 through 31, through page 90, lines 1 through 21, and this is a continuation of our common carrier discussion that we had previously, and I would prefer to defer to Anna Brawley on this one.
Anna, this deals with the new approval to common carriers. Can you help us with this particular change?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so this is actually a modification of existing law having to do with transport of alcohol into a local option area. And the research that we did about this particular section, the language that was in the original bill said requiring a signature and delivery to a person over 21. That was appropriate for the other common carrier regulations regarding shipping from businesses to customers. But my understanding of this particular section is that there would not necessarily be delivery or signature, and so this would cover multiple scenarios in which somebody may be accompanying the alcohol rather than shipping it through a commercial carrier.
Questions on that one? So that is the bulk of the changes in this particular version that is now in the CS. Is there any other questions on the CS before we move on? So then I'm going to remove my objection so that we can go and have this document before us for public testimony. And we do have several people signed up to testify. We have some people in the room and those online. Let's go to those online first, if you don't mind. And we'll go to Talkeetna. We have Suzanne Mossinen with the Brewers Guild of Alaska. Suzanne, thank you for being patient with us, and give us your name, your affiliation, and testimony, please.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Suzanne Mossinen.
Thank you for saying that.
Calling on behalf of the... Do you need a spelling for that?
No, I just butchered your name. I'm sorry, Suzanne.
Oh, that's not a problem. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the testimony. My affiliation is I'm calling on behalf of the Brewers Guild of Alaska, and I'm also the founding partner of Denali Brewing here in Talkeetna, Alaska. We are calling in today to show our support for Senate Bill 76 as it is drafted currently. We're grateful for the steering committee and senators' work to bring the bill to this. This has been a long process, and just calling in to show our support for the bill. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, and my apologies for messing up your name, and I appreciate your time for testimony. Now we'll go to Fairbanks, Michael Cervantes with the Banks Ale House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can everybody hear me okay?
Very well, thank you. Put your name on the record and give us your testimony.
My name is Michael Cervantes. I am the owner of the Banks Ale House up in Fairbanks, Alaska. I wanted to call in and show my support for SB 76. I really appreciate everybody taking the time. I understand this is 159 sections of this title rewrite, and I greatly appreciate the committee and everybody taking their time to review this and hear us out. Again, I am in support of this. I do believe this version is giving us an even playing field between all the different licensees. I believe that rather communication that was happening just earlier for clarification purposes, I do agree that there is a lot of contradictory information, and with this new rewrite, it is going to help clarify a lot of different sections to make it more simplification of understanding. I'd also like to point out that this rewrite does allow a little bit of a cross-utilization of licenses between manufacturers having the ability to actually purchase BDL licenses, which would be the same as that I have. And I know it's been a big controversy lately on other titles, or excuse me, other statutes. And just wanted to let the committee know and go on record saying that in Fairbanks, I do agree that this would help us grow forward for our title rewrite that is several years old, and it would help bring us a little bit up to date in what we are doing now in our industry. Thank you all for your time. I appreciate it and look forward to just moving to the next step.
Michael, thank you very much for taking your Saturday morning to testify on this, and I really appreciate it. Any questions at this point? I forgot to ask earlier. We have Robin Menard with the Mattsu Health Foundation in Wasilla. Robin, thank you for joining us. Put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Great. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Robin Menard, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs at Mattsu Health Foundation, which shares ownership in Mattsu Regional Medical Center and invests our share of the profits back into the community in order to improve the health and wellness of Alaskans living in Mattsu. We're also a founding member of Recover Alaska, which is a funding collaborative that seeks to reduce the harm caused by alcohol across our great state. I'm testifying today in support of SB 76. In our 2013 community health needs assessment, in 24 different community forums, Mattsu residents rank alcohol and substance abuse as the number one health issue in the Mattsu. In follow-up research, we asked our local police captains, what is the number one substance abuse problem? Their response was clear. They said alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. We also analyzed all the Mattsu Regional Emergency Department visits in 2 years, or from 2013 to 2016, and found that alcohol disorders were the number one reason for behavioral health visits to our emergency department. The systematic redraft of Title IV reflected in this bill will help the ABC Board carry out its mission and will benefit organizations and individuals whose work, community, or business are affected by alcohol. This represents a big step forward in reducing Alaska's alcohol problem, and we strongly support this legislation. It's not often so many stakeholders can come together to tackle a project this large, and we encourage you to move this bill forward for passage this year. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Robin, and I appreciate your testimony. Next, we will go to Matthew Jones, Moose's Tooth in Anchorage.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Matt Jones from the Moose's Tooth and the Bear Tooth and Broken Tooth in Anchorage. And I've worked on the licensing subcommittee for many years with Anna Brawley and many others. And I sat across the table from people that I never thought I would eventually see eye to eye with and to be able to help craft a rewrite of at least the licensing part of the Title IV rewrite. And I'm voicing my support for the bill. I think this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to rewrite Title IV in a sensible way. And I think it will level the playing field. I think it will between competitors, but I also think it'll help people in agencies like AMCO have a sensible roadmap for how they're supposed to enforce these laws. They're extremely confusing right now. And with this rewrite, I think all parties will benefit, AMCO included. So thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you very much. We also have in the room with us Dale Fox and Tiffany Hall. Dale, you want to come forward?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Dale Fox, and I work for Alaska Char. You know, a well-regulated alcohol industry is good for Alaska. It's good for public safety, it's good for public health, and it's good for the industry. And this effort has taken a long time. But one of the things that's interesting as we've talked about this for over 5 years is the coming together of people. My board unanimously supports the moving of SB 76. But when you dig down just a little deeper, who's my board? Well, it's hotels, restaurants, bars, distillers, brewers, package stores. Every segment of the industry sits on my board. And they're supportive of a well-regulated industry because that's good for everyone. We encourage you to pass the bill.
Dale, thank you very much. Any questions? Well, let's get Tiffany Fox up, who comes from a very different perspective. Put yourself on the record, Tiffany.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Tiffany Hall. I'm the Executive Director of Recover Alaska. We are an organization that works to reduce excessive alcohol use and harms across the state. My board is also in full support, and it looks really different from Dale's, as was mentioned. My primary funders include Providence, South Central Foundation, the Matsu Health Foundation, Rasmussen, the Mental Health Trust Authority, and State of Alaska, DHSS, as well as many other commissioners, judges, tribal, nonprofit, and governmental agencies across the state, and we are all in favor. We've been working on this for 6 years. It hasn't always been pretty, and it took a full 6 years to really come to consensus on this between health and public safety as well as the industry, but we're here, and not only is this bill really important to pass, it's really important to pass this year. A lot of other issues have come up during this that weren't necessarily consensus that we've seen in a couple of smaller one-off bills this year that we'll probably continue to see over the coming couple of years that we simply couldn't quite get to agreement on. But these are the issues that we have agreed upon in this year. I know it looks like a really big bill, but a lot of it is also just kind of cleaning up what doesn't make sense or what's reordered and what we here isn't very user-friendly to everybody who it applies to. We know we have more work to do. Recover Alaska is currently working on some of the issues that aren't addressed, like local option, and we will continue to do that work, and we are committed to do as much of the rest of the work to keep our state safe from alcohol, but we really need this change to happen this year. Thanks so much.
Questions? Tiffany, thank you very much. Seeing no questions. It's my understanding, Anna Brawley, that you were hired to help facilitate this. How many years, and just give us a concept of the meeting schedule that you dealt with on putting this together?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, this is Anna Brawley with the Title IV Review Project Coordinator. My understanding is this project started in 2012, initiated by the ABC board after hearing from a lot of different stakeholders that the Title IV needed updating and needed work. So Agnew Beck was hired originally by the ABC board to facilitate a meeting, and since then we've been involved in kind of shepherding the project along, organizing meetings, taking notes, keeping track of the discussion and the decisions made. I don't have an exact number of hours, but we estimated at least 12,000 hours spent by stakeholders in meetings. That included, you know, 2 or 3 hour meetings twice a month of 5 different committees. It included a lot of steering committee meetings and a lot of meetings between the first drafting of the bill and now, just to make sure that the language was as good as we could make it. So it's certainly been an intensive process, and an intensive process even before the first version of the bill was introduced in 2015.
Anna, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we had that context before we ask the committee what their will is. Any questions for the sponsor at this point? I've removed my objection for the version before us. We've heard the public testimony. I'm going to close the public testimony at this point. The question that I have before the committee is, do you anticipate any amendments, or do you want to move the bill forward today? Is there any? Why don't we make a motion to move, and then we can get that discussion before us. So,
do that with then I object. Is that how it would work?
If I thought I might have one.
Well, let's make the amendment and we'll have the discussion, right?
Okay. I'm not sure about the amendment. That was the question. Make sure.
The question to the chairman from Senator Schauer is on amendment concerning what?
That would be the amendment concerning. We'll
pull this down so we need to know.
That would be the amendment concerning I don't have to think of the right word for it. We're working on it now, but it is the. Can I get a brief at ease?
Sure, let's take a brief at ease. All right, we'll come back on the record, Senate Judiciary Committee. Why don't we go ahead and make a motion to move the bill, and I think that Senator Schauer has some comments he wants to make. Senator Costello.
Mr. Chair, I move CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 76, Judiciary Version Yankee, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
I would object.
And so the objection by Senator Schauer. Senator Schauer, why don't you address that objection, and then we'll go ahead and deal with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I object. I would like to take a look at specifically public convenience. We're going to need to discuss that with Anna to get an answer on whether or not that would be appropriate and if it would make sense. Our intention is just to have that question answered prior to moving it, and we may actually withdraw looking at the amendment if it's satisfied. We're just not sure yet. This question.
Do you want to hold it till Monday, or do you want to follow it to the next committee?
I would prefer to hold it till Monday. I think we can answer the question and then just vote for it, but I will defer to the committee.
Is that all right with you folks? Do you want to hold it till Monday so we can get that question answered?
Can we get it at ease?
Sure, let's take it at ease. The Senate Judiciary back together. The concern is a question. Can you restate your question again?
I can. We have a concern about the public convenience. And looking to basically this amendment would not change that from the current statute so that they would have the option to apply for more licenses.
What I understand is you're looking for answers to that.
Correct.
It'd be my expectation that since it does have another committee referral that we could work on that. I could make a commitment to you to work on that because it may or may not be an answer that you have to put in the bill.
I prefer not slow it down, so I accept that.
All right.
Thank you.
So is there an objection to moving from committee at this point?
If I could just put a couple things on the record, Mr.
Sure.
Chairman.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. And there were a few issues that came up at the last meeting that we had asked for some clarification from Department of Law, and I don't think we got those resolved. But if they can get resolved on the next committee, or at least addressed in the next committee, I'd feel comfortable moving it. But I'll just state a couple, if I could. In version M, we had discussed the Section 79, the Part B, there was a question about what the legal standard was for a person who may not purchase alcoholic beverage, whether it was a knowing or reckless, or what the legal standard was. There was a question on Section 80, and this is all version M, because that's where my notes track, Section 81E.
So before, why don't I just slow it down? Because I can have the sponsor make sure that these questions get distributed.
Yes.
And work with maybe Mr. Olson, who's with the Department of Law.
And if I could get an answer, too, that'd be great. It's Section 81, lines 20 through 29. There were a question. It talks about strict and vicarious liability for violation. And my question was whether or not that the penalty is limited to $250 or it's strictly in vicarious liability plus a penalty of $250. There was a question on Section 100, which you brought up, Mr. Chairman. What is the definition of school event? I think that is important to track down. I'm not entirely clear on the page 89 of Section M, the top lines 1 through 4. And it was a question I asked today, but I'm still not entirely clear about the liability for a common carrier transporting or delivering alcoholic beverages.
page 91, lines 2 and 3, I had a question about unauthorized storage of alcoholic beverages, what that definition is. I think that's it, Mr. Chairman. So with if I could get answers to those in the next few days, and or also, I guess, some discussion on the record in finance, that would, I think, solve my concerns.
Sure.
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one additional question on the double appeal. If I could get an answer on, I know it sounds like to the board is correct, but the sponsor had informed me originally that there would be a secondary appeal, and it sounds like there's just a little bit of question. So I just want to verify that in fact is the case, and how does that second appeal work? Is that to the commissioner, or how that, you know, that process works? Because that was one of the questions that the four cities I have that had asked, and they were happy if that was the case, but I want to make sure.
So, and I think Erica McConnell answered that in saying that you appeal to the ABC board and then to administrative law judge, but if you need to clarify that, I think.
The reason for the clarification was that I was told it was the commissioner, and she said it was through the courts, and that's why I want to basically have that question now answered, because I've gotten two different answers, so that's why.
All right, so, well, since we've made the motion, it's up and the concerns are on the table, I would depend upon the sponsor to come up with an answer of those questions and follow this bill with the answers. And you can give them to the chairman, and I'll make sure that committee members all get the answers, plus the next chairman who gets this bill. With that, any further conversation? Any objection to moving the bill today? Hearing no objection, then we'll move the CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 76 Judiciary from committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal notes. All right. With that, any further comment before we adjourn? All right. We'll adjourn the committee.